We're finishing off the generation of faith, walking out, living out this life of faith. We're focusing particularly this year on what it means for us to engage the vision that we have together as a church. And a great part of that, of course, is our building program. And before too long, we'll have some pictures up the back there. You'll be able to actually see some of the stuff that we're thinking and planning. And just keep it in your heart. We might even do up some little ones that you could take with you and have as a prayer card or something. Because we just need to keep the focus on that. We're signing up some agents this week or next week to actually get going on the sale of the other property over there, and that'll get us moving again forward on what God's got. I've been driving up and down Montague Street. I was up on Mount Kira the other day praying and got my little binoculars out and was looking over this part of the city. I don't understand why they have a lookout with trees in the way. Don't they understand that those trees were sitting right where I needed to look? If I had a chainsaw in the car, I would have had a good view. I'm just telling you right now. And I was up there and I was praying. I was looking out over and I think, this is just awesome. God's just doing such a wonderful work across our city. So many churches just honoring Him. And, you know, I know where the churches are pretty well. And you can actually see some of the roofs of the churches. You can see our church and the roof here. If you know where to look, you can actually see where it is. And so you can actually look and you can see some of those places that you know. And it's so amazingly wonderful that God is doing a work of grace across our city and that we're part of that. And so we're talking about this whole area of faith and living the life of faith and what it takes to do that and really engaging with what God has got for each one of us. And so today I wanted to finish up to realize that just crossing the Jordan River is not getting the job done. You know, if you actually cross the river to get into the promised land, then how many realize that the job is not finished? It's just started. It's kind of like having a building fund and making a pledge or a commitment or having something stir in your heart. Well, that's the first step of faith to cross over the Jordan. But the job's not done. It's not done by having pictures up or having ideas and designs. That's a beginning. That's a start. That's along the way. But the job's not finished. It's only just begun. You can march around Jericho 7 times and have the thing fall flat. But how many realize that's just the first city? And that there are lots of other cities to take. There's lots of other areas you need to move into. Last week, Heather talked about AI and the fact that that was their first defeat and how they just freaked out. One of the things in our men's life group during the week we were looking at was how much Joshua freaked out as a result of that. It was amazing. The only thing that he was told to do by God was to be strong and courageous. And what did he do when he had his first failure? He became a wimpy little whatever, and he started getting all fearful, and why did you bring us here? And he started wimping and whining and carrying on. And I'm just thinking, God's sitting up there, I only told you to do one thing, be strong and courageous. And your first problem, you just shut down and start going berserk. And so he's on his face crying out to God, and what does God say? Get up! The guys like that. We like that little bit. Get up. Get off your face. What are you doing groveling in the dirt, boy? There's stuff to do. There's land to take. There's giants to kill. Let's go. I like God. He's pretty good. Sniveling on the ground. Get up. What are you doing down there? You know, honestly, there's my favorite little instruction on counseling. It's Robert Newhart, I think it is, on YouTube. And it's counseling by the stop it method, which is great. You know, you go to the doctor and it says, you know, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, stop doing it, you know. And so he applies that theory to emotional problems and, you know, all that. And these people come in and they tell him all their problems. And he says, stop it. Stop it. Stop doing it. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. There really is. Just stop it. Whatever that thing is that's hurting you, whatever that life issue is that's getting a hold of you, stop it. Stop it. Stop doing it. Stop carrying on like that. And so Joshua's down on his face and God says, stop it. Get up. He's been to the Newhart School of Counseling. And he says, a bit directive. Get up and get going. There's sin to deal with. There's an enemy to defeat. Let's go. And I started thinking about all that, and I thought about all the guys. They go south, and they conquer all these kings. They go north. They get a bit deceived by some... All sorts of stuff happens. It's great stories. But the one that stood out, I was reading through, saying, God, which bit do you really want us to focus on this sort of finishing the job, getting the job done, seeing it through? Which one do you want us to go to? And I came to Joshua chapter 14, and one of my absolute favorite characters. By the way, this stuff goes onto our blog every week. Usually Friday, Saturday, I'll do a summary of the message with some application questions. You could actually do that and just not even come to church at all. No, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. But it is on our blog, City Life. What's our website? citylife.org.au, blog. And then Jill usually blogs from the Wednesday, and the Sunday thing is always blogged up there. There's just summaries and applications. So get yourself, I tell you what you do, get yourself ready for that. You can go and have a look at that, then go to your life group. You got all the answers. You're ready to rip. When they start asking questions, you go, I know that question. It was in the blog. And you're away. But Joshua chapter 14, here's Caleb. Now the men, get it up there, verse that is. Why do they make the numbers of the verses smaller than the rest? Don't they know you can't read that? I was trying to register for soccer the other day, and they had a spare pair of glasses sitting next to the registration pages. Because every second bloke that came in there, there was these blind guys coming in there trying to play soccer. Okay. Verse 6, Joshua 14, verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Oh, by the way, maybe remember, I got onto the Lifehouse website in Hong Kong, and they've started videoing all of their services. So if you look at Jesus Lifehouse Hong Kong, HK, then you can actually get on Vimeo. It's a bit hard to download, but they actually have their services each week. So if you want to see what's really happening there, you can actually go on and watch them. As I was looking around, lo and behold, back in October, yours truly was actually speaking at Hong Kong, and there I was in all my glory. And I had a look. I had a look and watched it, and I decided again, I've really got to stop trying to be humorous when it comes to being in an Asian culture. I reckon about half of the things that I was trying to do to be funny just didn't work at all. The worst thing is that when you're not trying to be funny, they have a good laugh. You know, there's something. You just do something, and it's just funny. You go, oh, good, yeah, I'm a champion. Okay. But you can get on there and have a look. It's good fun. Have a look at what they're doing, and it's just great stuff. Let's get back to this. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I'm blown away. That's awesome. This guy is fantastic, let me tell you. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. How awesome is that story? What an amazing man of God. What a phenomenal approach to life. God has kept me alive these 45 years. Now I'm 85, and I'm just as strong and just as vigorous as I was then. I reckon Caleb was just ready to take anybody on. I mean, he just didn't care. He's at least 20 years older than everybody else, except for Joshua. He's all the guys that he's leading in the battle, all the younger men that he's taking to attack the land. He's 20 plus years older than all of them, and yet he's just going for it. He's just absolutely powering on. And as I thought about it, I thought there is no excuse for getting old and sloppy. There's no excuse for getting old and weak and pathetic. There's no excuse for it. Some people say you calm down as you get older, and I just say just get more fired up. Just get going more and more. Don't, you know, I tell guys all the time, I say, make your wife catch up to you spiritually. Don't be dragging behind. Don't let her get way out ahead. I mean, you know, most, a lot of blokes say, oh, well, you know, women are naturally more spiritual. Oh, bunk them. God called men to be on fire for God, and you need to set such a pace that your wife is going, I can't keep up with this bloke. He's just going for it. Reads the Bible every day, prays in the Spirit, loves God, gives all of our money away. I can't keep up with him. He's just going so far. Why would you be one of these wimpy guys that's talking about my wife is spiritual and I don't know what to do? Oh, kick him in the bum. Get going. Sorry, I just get a little. I like Caleb. I just love him. He's just fantastic. You know, and so Caleb is setting this pace. I'm just imagining these young guys sort of coming behind him, going, Caleb's the oldest bloke in the nation, and yet we can't keep up. You get that feeling? You get that feeling? It's like he's been through, at this point, they've already been through all the battles. They've already been through all kinds of stuff, winning battles here and there and everywhere and fighting people all over the place. And it comes to the point, it's like Caleb says, I'm sick and tired of all this. Get out of the way. Let me kill those giants. Let's go. That land up there, this is where Goliath came from. This was his people. So there were giants, so they're big guys, strong guys. And he's not afraid, he's not fearful, but he says, let me go and take the land. I'm in awe of this guy. I just think he's fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. And that's, I just love old guys who know how to get on with it. Who, you know, and not winding down as they're getting older. Not, you know, oh, taking it easy. No, they're setting an example that younger men, younger women can look at them and say, when I'm 45, when I'm 50, when I'm 60, when I'm 80, I want to be like that. I want to be like that guy. I think about Brother G over there. I haven't seen Brother G for many years, but he was a guy 75 years of age, Chinese guy, been in and out of prison all the time, decided to go on a fast in prison one time so that his body would wind down, so that he would embarrass the guards into releasing him. This guy was amazing. And so he went on a fast, and then he started feeling sick and looking sick, and he says, I don't really want to die here. And these young guards in the prison, they started to get a bit worried because this old guy was going to die, and eventually they let him loose because he was fasting and seeking God, and 75 years of age. Last I saw him, he'd gone down to the south, and he was doing video teaching. You get this whole Bible college of Brother G, who was doing video teaching for the young guys coming up on how to live a life of faith. I love people like that. They're absolutely awesome. We work with a guy, you wouldn't even know, but Ross, who we work with in southern China, Australian guy. Ross is turning 60. He doesn't tell many people this. But, you know, last year at the age of 59, Ross got his brown belt or black belt, I think, I can't remember which one now, in karate. Broke his thumb and then went and did his, I think it was black belt, went and did his black belt exam with a broken thumb, 60 years of age. There is no excuse for those who want to get wimpy and soft and pathetic in their walk with God. There's no excuse. And here we see Caleb saying, I'm going to take that land. We've done all the rest. We've crossed the Jordan. Jericho's fallen over. We've had a problem here and a problem there. And we've gone through. And I just had this picture of Caleb. You never hear anything bad about Caleb. I just had this picture of this guy who just through all of that, he just kept pushing through. He just kept going. He says, right, who we got to beat next? Let's go. Come on. Let's go and we'll do them because we've got to go here and take our inheritance. I think that's the attitude of faith. As we were in the worship there, I felt God saying to me, we need to stir up some aggressive faith. We need to stir up some aggressive faith. Stop. Don't be wimpy. Don't be wussy. Don't be half-hearted, double-minded. None of that rubbish. Just get yourself focused in on what God has got for you, what God's got for our church, what God's got for your life group, for your family. Get focused right in on there and say, I'm going for it. I'm going after it. Yeah. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? Caleb, great guy. There's three qualities that I see in what this story of Caleb. And what we're about today is qualities to finish the race. What it takes in a man or a woman of God to say, I'm going to finish this race. I'm not just starting well, but I'm finishing with strength. That's what I think Caleb teaches us. The first one is in verse 7. In the first part of verse 8, he says, I was 40 years old when Moses... Can I just say, some people when they turn 40, they're almost given up already. This bloke's just getting started. Fantastic. I'm 40... Where is he? He's 40. He's doing something. And the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Some versions will say with what was in my heart. According to my convictions. The first thing I want us to, and then it goes on to say the rest of them, you know, shared their fear out of their hearts and brought the people down. The first point I want us to get is the point of conviction. Conviction. This guy spoke and lived out of his convictions. Not out of his fears, not out of his uncertainties. You know, we've all got those. He would have had them. And nobody would. You cannot go into a... I don't believe you could go into a sword battle or a spear battle without fear. You know, any of those interviews you see with guys who've faced battle, you can't do that without fear. You all know, courage is not the absence of fear, is it? That's not courage. It's when you face your fear and you move forward according to your conviction. That's what it's about. And that's what Caleb evidences for us. He goes in, he spies out the land, and he comes back with a report according to his convictions, what he believes deeply in his heart. Not the surface problem or fear or anxiety, none of that, but he says he's going to see beyond that, and he's going to go to what he really believes inside of his heart. That's why I believe the scripture says that we need our minds renewed by the word of God and the washing of the spirit, the washing of the word, because we need our convictions in line with the word of God. We need our convictions in line with what God has got for us, not with our fears and our uncertainty. What were Caleb's convictions? I'm glad you asked. Numbers chapter 13. We know what his convictions were. He tells us what his convictions were. Numbers 13 and verse 30. It says, then Caleb, this is when they were giving their report. It says, then Caleb silenced the people, because they were all moaning and groaning and stuff. Caleb's been to the same school of counseling as God has been to. And so he silences them all. And he says before Moses, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. There's the faith, isn't it? There is his faith. Let's see what his conviction and his faith is based on. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. It says, verse 5, it says, Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. And it says, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Everybody say, exceedingly good. There's his first conviction. His first conviction is that what God has got for him is exceedingly good. I think that's the first thing we need to get as a conviction in our hearts, is that the plan and purpose of God for your life is exceedingly good. It's not halfway good. It's not maybe good. It's not, oh, I'm not too sure about good. It's not maybe it's bad and then it might be good. It's none of that. Exceedingly good. When he came back with a report, he said, forget the giants, forget the problems, forget the cities and the fortified land, forget all of that. The purpose of God for my life and for our lives together is exceedingly good. Amen? Think about it in relation to the church. When we're involved with our mission work around the world, and there's all kinds of stuff gets in the way, we encounter obstacles all the time. All the time, cultural problems and government issues and trying to get around this, around that, da-da-da, all the time. The people on the field, they're encountering problems all the time. But, you know, we've got to come with a conviction, and that conviction says that God has prepared good works for us to walk in beforehand, and if we'll have an ounce of faith in our hearts, then we will walk in those good works, and God will release them in our hearts. When we come to look at our building and what we're doing with facilities and the release of ministries, we have to say, for City Life Church, God has an exceedingly good plan for us. Amen? Amen? All kinds of doubts and fears and uncertainties, and how are we going to raise that money, and what about DA approval with the council, and what about where's the building going to be, and how are we going to sell that property and gain resource, how are we going to, yada, 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 and away it goes. But not the fears and the uncertainties, but the conviction in our heart that says God's plan is exceedingly good. Exceedingly good. I like that as a conviction. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. He goes on further down to say, I'll read the rest. It says, only don't rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. It's a bit rough. Their protection is gone, but isn't that good? Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. The convictions of his heart. He had a conviction about the extremely good purpose of God. He had a conviction about the presence of God with him. God is with us. God will give to us this land. The goodness of God, the presence of God in his life. He had a conviction about it. He had a conviction about not living in fear. He said, I won't live my life in fear. He says, don't be afraid of the people. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Have faith. Trust God. He will give it to us. Can I say to you, in that area of your life where you have fear, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Get a conviction from God. Get a promise from the Word of God. Let God's Word change your heart about yourself, about your family, about your work, about your finance, whatever it is. And don't give in to fear. Don't let the fears weigh you down and bottle you up. But like Caleb, rise up with some conviction in your heart and say, this is what God has said to my life, and I'm going to go forward with conviction and faith, believing that He will give and He will provide and He will bring breakthrough. This is something that only gets transacted in your heart. It's not something that can be done in your head. It's done in your heart, where you get control of the junk that goes in our brains, and you get down into some convictions around who God is and who you are and what His purpose is for you. You know, I've observed in life that one of the most important things is what you think about yourself. What you know, if there's stuff going on inside of you which is all negative and putting down and devaluing, then that just affects everything in your life. Every aspect, your work, your relationships, everything just gets tainted by that junk. And I believe God is saying to us, get the conviction in your heart and spirit about who you are and who He is and the good purpose that He has for your life. I tell you now, if you keep believing that God's got a bad purpose for you, then you will have no faith at all. The only thing you'll be able to believe in is the bad stuff. You'll have negative faith. One of the guys in our men's life group talked about the temptation of negative faith. What a good way to look at it. Fear and negativity and how that has power. And the need to overcome that and break that down and counter that with genuine conviction about the promise and the goodness of God. Amen? Get it into your heart. Get it into your spirit. Fantastic. I tell you what, we got our own 80-year-old over here, and he's in our men's life group, and we pray with David every week. And I tell you, I've watched him over the last couple of years, you know, just doing absolute battle with that physical thing that's trying to attack him. Can I tell you right now, that's a man of faith right there who just rises up and says, we will not give in. We're not going to stop. We're not going to step back. We're going to go forward. I tell you, I want 100 of him. I do. Pam only wants one. She got very limited vision. I want 100 of him. I tell you now, and I kid you not, you live a life like that, that'll do. Amen? Come on, stir. It's real. And there's other people that will remain nameless, pussyfooting around and fiddling about and all self-doubt and God would just say, get some conviction in your heart. Build a life of purpose. Get about it. Let some of these people, you can look at them, they're right here amongst us. They're the people we connect with around the world. People of faith and of power and of enthusiasm and conviction and power. I mean, get it into your heart. Live that way. Don't live below. Live above. Amen? Come on. Stir it up. Live above. Don't let the stuff get on top of you. Get above it and smash it. I love that story of the donkey. You remember the story of the donkey gets chucked in the well? Remember that story? Anyone remember that story? There was a donkey got chucked in the well because nobody liked it. I don't know why they chucked in the well. And they started, it was the rubbish pit. And what they did, the people would chuck their rubbish in on top of the donkey. You ever heard of that? Come on, you must have done. And as the rubbish came on top of the donkey, he would shake it off his back and stomp on it. And I kept throwing rubbish on him, kept heaping rubbish, all the circumstances, all the muck coming down on top of him. As he was in the pit, they chucked him down there to die. And all he'd shake it off and stomp on it. And guess what he did? He built himself a platform to walk straight out of the pit. I tell you what, get above it. Get above it. Don't. All the stuff comes on you, all the negativity, all the junk comes on top. Don't let it. Shake it off. Stomp on it and walk forward. Caleb, I love him. He's fantastic. He's got all those convictions going. I'm going to run out of time, big time here, but that's all right. The second thing I notice about Caleb is his dedication. His dedication. The scripture says there in verses 8 and 9, you know it's impolite in Japan to blow your nose. Do you know that? In public? What was that one? Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Oh. That must be why it's impolite. See now, if we were on the soccer field, then it would have just been one of those, you see, and it would have been okay. Dedication. Have a look at it. The scripture says, while I try and get the mucus off my face, reminds me of when I was in high school, actually, and we're in one of these film classes, and one of my mates had a big, he had a nose problem, and big sneeze, and as he sneezed, he sort of flicked his head. It's just, wasn't pleasant. This reminds me of that. Anyway, verses 8 and 9. We should just stop the meeting right there. It says, my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Dedication. I felt God speak to me so clearly about this, particularly for the men of our church, obviously for women as well, but particularly for the men of our church, that God, what happened with Caleb was because he served God wholeheartedly, he won a promise of inheritance from the Lord. Because of his dedication, he won a promise of inheritance, not just for himself, but for himself and for his children. I want to say to you, win an inheritance with your dedication. Win an inheritance. I have my mum and dad in church. Always great to have mum and dad in church. Have my mum and dad in church. And I was thinking about it this morning as I was preparing for today. I'm nearly 49, about 50 next year. And I was thinking about it. All of my life, I've gone to church. All of my life, myself and my two brothers, we've gone to church. All of our lives, we've served God. Why? Because there's two people sitting there who have served God with dedication, wholeheartedly, who said, I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's going on in life. I don't care about anything else that's happening. We worship God in this family. We love God. We are going to serve God. That's what we're doing. And so now me and my two brothers, we all go to church, and our kids go to church. And not only do they go to church, but they sing in church, and they lead in church, and they do the work of God in the kingdom of God. How does that happen? It happens because someone says, I'm going to live my life with dedication, and I'm going to claim an inheritance, not only for myself, but for my children and for my children's children. We're up to three generations now. In fact, it goes back further than that. But we're up to three generations of people going for it in this big extended family that love God. I tell you what, it's awesome. Dedication will bring an inheritance for you. And it doesn't matter whether you're the 50th part of the generations or whether you're the first. And you know what I think about that? I absolutely love young men and women who are establishing the beginning of generations of faith. I think that's amazing. That's a little bit like church planting, where nobody can take it away from you. You are the founder. Well, here we are, we're the founders of the church. Glory be to God. The founders of the church. You know, the great thing is, I've shared this with many, the great thing is no one ever takes that away from you. You can't lose that. When you're the founder of faith in the generations, how awesome is that? No one takes that from you. You are the beginning. I think that's fantastic. Dedication is what wins that. Dedication, wholeheartedness. Not, oh, we're here one week and we're gone the next, and we're up and down and on and on and on. No, no. Dedication. You know, you know as well as I do, there are people in this room you can stake your life on. They just are. If there's any hassle, if there's any problem, if there's a conflict or a difficulty, you can absolutely stake your life on those people. One of those up the back there, I felt like it literally was, as we were in China and sick and people jabbing me and poking me, and one of the men of our church with me and looking out, smacking down doctor. He didn't quite get that violent, but I'll tell you what, I thought he was going to smack down one person at one point. People you can actually stake your life on. Why? Dedication. You can't stake your life on somebody who's there one day and gone the next. You can't do it. You can't build your life on a wobbly thing. The Bible calls it a broken reed that pierces your hand. It's an interesting illustration. It says, if you want a strong walking stick and it turns into a thin reed, then when the weight comes on, it breaks and it sticks you and hurts you. Because you've tried to build your life on someone who is not wholehearted. Caleb was wholehearted. Dedication. The Hebrew word literally, some of your scriptures will say fully, because the Hebrew word literally means to have your heart full. It really spoke to me that there was no room in his heart for anything else. There was no room in his heart for failure. There was no room in his heart for uncertainty. There was no room in his heart for the worldliness that was all around him. No room in his heart for any of that stuff. He was wholeheartedly seeking out the purpose of God. The scriptures are full of that. Jesus said in Luke 9, he says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." How many realize that Jesus was pretty harsh from time to time? Ever realize that? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Hope I don't die before I wake, whatever the hell the rest of that goes. It's a strange little prayer. But anyway, we have this idea. But Jesus was straight. Looks Peter in the eye, says, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're of. The words you've just spoken are of the world, not of God." Just really goes for him. And it was Jesus who said, "If you put your hand to the plow and you keep looking back, then you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not fit to serve God." Don't get condemned. Get strong. Get some conviction. Make a decision today. I will be one of those people who can be relied on. I'll be one of those people. I will be one of... I could go around the room and I could just brag on heaps of people right here who are that kind of person. You can just rely on them. One of the guys was on a Facebook message or something. I really liked it. He said, "Become that go-to man. Become the go-to man." It was one of our guys. I won't point him out, but it was one of our guys said, "Become the go-to man. That people can rely on you. People can depend on you. Become that person." Although that's exactly right. He found his inheritance. The last one. You ready for it? You ready? The last one. The last one's very simple. It's strength. Strength. Conviction. Dedication. And strength. Verse 10 to 13, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle." 85 years of age. I am just as strong. It reminds me of a guy I know down in Adelaide who was pastoring one of the large churches there and handed that over and saw the succession of that about 75 or thereabouts. And decided, "Oh, I got nothing else to do. I'll go and plant a church." So at the age of 75 or thereabouts, grabbed a young bloke, said, come with me. And they went out to a little country town there in South Australia. And sure enough, they prayed into the place. They went around door knocking and visiting and connecting with people and planted a church. And he got this young guy and he trained him up. And he said, come on, you stick with me for a couple of years. And together they planted that church and he handed it over to that young guy and said, well, where's the next one? How awesome. What do you reckon? 85 years of age. I'm just as strong today. That's my retirement plan, by the way. When God finally says it's time to not shuffle off, because that's when you go to the big place, but when God finally says it's time to hand over the church here at, you know, 20 or 30 years' time, whenever that is, when God finally says that, my retirement plan, I don't know what's going to happen with our superannuation, that's all going in there, who cares? My retirement plan is we can just go and plant a church. In fact, there's a place I already know of, and if someone else doesn't do it in the next 20 years or so, I'm going to grab some young bloke who's probably not even born yet, but one of these young kids who's like 4 or 5 years old, I'll grab them and I'll say, come with me, we're planting a church. No, shut up and just do it. And you get the idea? Just as strong and just as vigorous today as I was then. Why not? Why not you? Why does it have to always be somebody else who's like that? Why is it always someone else that we're looking to for that example? Why not you? God wants you to disciple people. God wants you to lead somebody else into a life of faith. Make that the best life of faith that you can. Amen? Strong. But this wasn't about self. This was about total dependence on God. In verse 10, he says, as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive. There's not an ounce of pride or arrogance here in Caleb. He's not saying, I'm great, I'm fantastic. He's saying, this is God's promise. God has kept me alive. He's the one who strengthened me. Never think you can do it just on your own. Don't get into that sort of self-ego trip. Verse 12, at the end, he says, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. It's the promise of God. It's the strength of God. Your strength comes from your walk with God. That's where your strength comes from. If you're wobbling around and you're not sure, just a conviction coming out of today's service is not going to do it for you. But your walk with God is going to do it. Get close to God. I've just realized I've gone way over time. Anyway, I've enjoyed it. Isaiah 40 says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's those who spend time with God. They're the ones who are going to be strong. You know, you don't get to the 80s with faith without spending time with God. You just don't get there. You don't get into your 40s and 50s with a fire in your heart for the kingdom of God without spending time with God. Every day, meet with Him. Let Him speak to you. Don't just read the Bible and go, that's interesting. Let Him speak to you. Connect with Him in worship. Lift your hands, open your heart, make it a prayer. Every time you get into worship, make it a prayer. Break open my heart, Lord, and take me piece by piece. Just bring me into your kingdom. Wherever you're going, I'm going. I want your presence more than anything else. Make it a prayer in your heart to God. People around you will look and they'll go, what is going on in that life? God's there and He's real. Amen. Let's stand together. We thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the incredible power of your Holy Spirit that brings life and hope and strength to every one of us. I thank you, Father God, that you want us to live a life that honors you and glorifies you, that lifts up your name, that demonstrates your goodness and your grace. And Lord, this morning I want to pray for every person here that feels that they're uncertain, that they're weak, that they're tossed about, that they're not dedicated, that they're not 100% like we've been hearing about this morning, and yet in their heart they want that. They want to be that person that can be relied upon, that person that you're doing a work of grace in their heart to make them stronger and stronger. I thank you, Lord God, that we don't have a church of perfect people, but we have a perfect God. And I thank you, Lord, that you can do it in every heart. And so I want to lift up, just open your heart to God right now. If that's you, if you're one of those and it's been wavering and uncertain inside of you, open your heart Let God come. Do what you've got to do. Meet with Him every day. Give yourself to it. But if that's you, open your heart right now. I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray for everyone who's got that experience, Lord, that you'd make them strong, that you'd build strength into them, that you'd build conviction into them, and that they would become the person that you've meant them to be, that others can look to them for example, others can rely on them, that they are the person that we can rely on 100%, that you would do that in every heart and every life. I thank you that there is no circumstance too great for you. There is no hurt, no pain, no wrongdoing that's too hard for you to deal with. And we ask you to deal with it and lead us in Jesus' name. We're going to pray a very simple prayer. If you want to get right with God, if you want to be in relationship with God, then just simply pray this prayer with us. Let's all pray out loud. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you're serious about it, grab one of these. Grab the person who brought you today. Go over and see the host and I'll give you one of these. Simple, simple Bible studies to help you to walk out and live the Christian life. Grab a hold of it and help people to do that. We have a prayer meeting this Wednesday night. The end of our month of prayer and fasting. Come along, 7:15. It will be fantastic. We're going to go for it and see God do great things. Amen. God bless. Thanks, guys. Well